All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Always Loving Podcast. My name is Jeremy. I'm your host. These are my favorite segments on these podcasts. It's called the Leverage Series. It's where, you know, it's our belief on this podcast that there's literally nothing in this world that we cannot accomplish because someone has already accomplished our lifestyle, and usually they had a worse background than we did. And the majority of the time, the people that lived the most successful and glorious lives are the ones that had the most horrible childhoods, and so they just don't take anything for granted. They know how to work hard. They know how to put leverage on themselves because they really didn't have a choice, because that was their only way out. Like, that was their ticket out. Today on this podcast, I have a collegiate athlete that I've helped out a couple times, and it's wonderful. We'll have a great conversation, but we'll get right into it. And so thank you for being on the podcast, brother, again. And yeah, man, it's just cool to chat with you.
Yeah, man, I'm always glad to be here.
My favorite part about you is that every time we talk, you have stuff written down and you have such a desire to be better. And of all the things that are important, like, as an athlete, like, I really appreciate that. Number one, you appreciate, like, my time. But number two, I appreciate, like, how much that you have your desire to improve yourself mentally, physically, like, emotionally, everything is just really cool.
Thank you, man. Really appreciate it. And I appreciate you just always being there for me and helping me through my journey as well. And, you know, you've helped me a lot.
Thanks, man. Well, it was really cool when I got to see a post, you know, when you tagged me in that post, you got to go to your, you know, the college that you've always wanted, or at least the colleges you've always wanted to go to. And, like, you know, you're playing at a level that you belong at. It's just, I feel like whether we deserve something or not is irrelevant. It's how hard we work and how much we're willing to change from our past.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So, definitely. So we were just catching up briefly before this podcast, but you said, you know, basically that you're wanting to work on just the mental game and always wanting to improve. Like, what, I guess, is on your mind as of lately?
You know, as of lately, I guess, you know, I guess growing up, kind of, I always felt like I was, you know, I was just way more talented than everybody else. And it wasn't until I got to my junior college to where, like, I kind of realized that, like, the mental side of the game was where I needed to improve on, because, like, I hit, you know, some games where, you know, my coach was really getting after me, or the opposing crowd was, you know, getting to me, and then I'd kind of freeze up and stop shooting or whatnot. And, you know, I'd kind of ask myself, what's going on? Because, you know, I spent so much time in the gym, but it just was like when I got to the game, it kind of all disappeared. Right. And then just, you know, just like other, like, you know, sometimes just having, like, self-defeating attitudes and comparing myself to others and just things like that. I guess the first thing I wanted to touch on was, like, the fear of failure, I guess, you know. And I'm reading a book called Mind Gym right now. Where, like, a quote in it really helped me a lot, where he talked about how you should try to strive and just have the desire to achieve something and let go of that fear of failure. But, you know, sometimes, like, you know, it's easier said than done, and there's stuff you got to work on. So I was just wondering for you, like, how often do you run into that, you know, like, you know, Kobe talks about it a lot, you know, when it's daunting when you put all of these years and time into it, and then you start thinking, man, what if it doesn't work out? And I know it's something you got to let go, but I was just wondering, like, how often does that come across your mind, and how do you deal with it?
I think a lot of things that I think about with this is how often we can put ourselves in situations that make us uncomfortable, like, on a daily basis. As far as fear goes, I really feel like if you can put yourself just outside of your comfort zone, and it's not something that's, like, too much of a stretch, it's something that's usually going to give us confidence. So I think about, honestly, fear was something I covered a couple podcasts ago that was really important, because when I came down here, I started working with J-Lobby Ball. Shout out J-Lobby Ball. Yeah, yeah. And it's been one of the most amazing things in my life. Like, but, and I told him this the other day, I said, I was terrified when I first came down here that he was going to look at me at some point and be like, hey man, like, you got to go. You're just kind of getting in the way. Cause you know, I'd been around, you know, NBA guys before. I'd never been around G League guys before, like on a consistent basis. And so I knew that I had a baseline level of fear that was going to be stuck, that was sticking with me on a day-to-day basis, because I was having so much fun and I was finally in a position I've always wanted to be in. So the first thing I think about when it comes to fear actually is a perspective change, where how many people do you know are living a life or are putting themselves in situations that are so incredibly awesome that it literally makes them afraid of losing it? And what the way I think about it is like, you know the song, do you know the song by Lucas Graham, Love Someone?
No, but I'll definitely give it a listen.
Well, the reason why I asked is because it says, if you've never loved someone, it's like, you never know someone like I do. If you're not afraid to lose who you have, you've never loved someone like he has. And so I think about fear when it comes to, as far as a perspective change, is how cool is it that you have stuff in your life that you actually are afraid of losing because of how much fun you have doing it. And so, first of all, I think it's just a blessing. Like, there's not many people on this earth that are playing collegiate basketball at the level that you're at, or that are, you know, in the situation that I am. And so, first of all, I think it's just a perspective change. It's something that I think we can be grateful for every single day, to have that fear, because there's a lot of people that would love to be in that situation. I think second of all, I think it's just, it kind of just comes with the territory. Like, I think, and we've talked about this before, the fear kind of goes away while performing if you can teach yourself how to, like, just train. If you can teach yourself how to train even, like, more focused. And I know we had this conversation basically the first time we ever talked. It was, you know, what kind of ball handling drills are you doing? Like, what kind of shooting drills are you doing? Are you doing the same ones that you've done forever? And I know you changed those and you talked about that. But, like, every single time you continue to upgrade your game, the fear just kind of goes away one step further. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing is too, is how many times can you put yourself in a competitive mode while training, to where I'll ask you this question. What do you think you are afraid of when you hear someone talk, or when you hear the other team, or when you hear someone that you respect say something? Because for me, when fear would only show up if it was someone I respected, to where I was listening to what they were saying already, and so it would get in my ear head a lot quicker. Like when I went to my team in Kansas City, Ronaldo Major was on the team, and I was so excited to go learn from him because he's the all-time leading scorer of the D-League. And so I was excited to go learn from him. I was like, I'm going to be a sponge. He's the same size as me. He plays a similar position. Like, I am going to be a sponge and learn from him. And I come to find out that listening to a man that talks as much shit as that guy does every single day in practice was horrendous for my mental state. Every day he would tell me how trash I was, and how he was just going to, like, take me to the schoolyard. And, like, he just, like, I was listening, and then it was getting to me. Because he was telling me how trash I was. Yeah. Like, I was listening, expecting someone like me, where if I'm the leader on a team, I'm going to put someone under my wing and I'm going to build them up. I'm going to be giving them pointers as I'm guarding them. Like, I don't need to talk shit. If anything, it's more humiliating that I'm trying to help you while I'm kicking your ass. Like, that's just how I play. That's how I like to mentor people. That's how I like to, like, I like being a bigger brother kind of deal. And for him, it was, he had the Kobe Jordan mentality of, I'm going to be so hard on you and you're going to hate your life so much that you're going to wish that you are in a game playing against somebody else. And so I was listening to him, and it would get to me. And I remember even telling the coach that at one point, because I had a pretty good relationship with my coach. I was like, man, I got to stop listening to Ronaldo. So I guess my question is, when do you feel the fear, and when do you feel it, like, starting to, like, shut you down?
I think, man, I think I feel the fear, like, just usually in the beginning of like games or practice, like when we start running at first, kind of like, especially when I first got here, it was kind of like, I've worked all my life to get to the to play D1 ball, and I went to prep school and then I went to JUCO for 2 years, and now I'm finally here. I don't want any, my coach to think, yo, like, obviously, like, they recruited me and I chose them, but I don't want him to think, maybe we got the wrong guy or this or that. So that was me at first, kind of like similar to how you got to where you're at, and you're like, man, I don't want to be in the way. I kind of was like, man, I don't want them to think that I am here. I don't belong to be here. And then sometimes it just comes with self, like, I just start having like self-defeating attitudes. Like, if I miss a couple shots, I remember you and I talked about how you used to, you when you played open run somewhere or something, you were terrified to shoot the ball. And that was me when I was younger, and I'm obviously not terrified to shoot the ball, but sometimes, you're second, if you miss five threes in a row, you're second guessing that sixth. You know what I mean? And the fear of failure comes, I mean, just fear comes in when things are going wrong. Sometimes, if that makes sense.
Sure.
I hope that makes sense.
I guess, like, have you had moments like that then at this new school? Like, 'cause you're at, so what have those moments been like?
The second run we ever had, we kept, kept track of, we kept track of the whole game, and I was 0 for 9 to start the game. And once, obviously, like, I was kind of proud of myself, because if the old me, I would have went 0 for 3 and I would have stopped shooting, but I just kept checking it. I was like, not bad, not four shots, but I'm like, yo, like, if I'm open and it's a good shot, I'm shooting it. I don't care, I'm shooting it. Yeah, so then, you just like, 0 for 9, you're going in the second half because we're playing, regular games, like, well, like, just a scrimmage, and then you just start thinking, dang, like, halftime, man, do I belong out here with these guys? Like, and then you just start having all these self-defeating at thoughts and whatnot. So, I just want, like, how do you move past that? Because obviously, we all have them and we're all going to
I feel like
have
what
them,
happens is
but.
we speed ourselves up as soon as we feel like we maybe don't belong, even in the slightest amount. What we do is we just speed ourselves up. We do things differently than what we would do if we were playing at our local gym, or and it's crazy because we're getting the exact same shots, if not better looks. And so it's like the game hasn't changed at all, but what changes is everything in our mind, and we just get sped up and we don't know how to take those pauses. And I think something that's really important, and it's something that I've really just done recently, is I've stopped listening to a lot of mindset podcasts. I've stopped listening to a lot of books, because I want to know what I think, and I want to know what I think on situations, and I want to know how I can slow myself down constantly, where if I'm in a situation that scares me a little bit, which for me, it's usually with like relationships. It's with relationships at this point, and basketball doesn't scare me anymore. Like, I think once I had a shooting competition against Klay Thompson, like a month ago. He walked in the gym, and I noticed that the things that I work on outside of gym are all so focused on balance and so focused on the minute details of like, I'm not gonna let my head move even like a freaking centimeter. Or I'm really working on like not twisting, or I feel like I'm constantly in a pressure packed situation when it comes to training down here with Jordan, that like every day is kind of the same. And so if you can constantly, you're constantly in that right now, where you're constantly in a situation where you feel like you need to perform and it's good for you. But I feel like when I stopped listening to Tony Robbins and Tim Ferriss and all these people, because what I decided was I know enough right now that I'm going to trust myself. and I'm going to kind of look into me and see what I think I need to do. And so as much as usually, you know, when you're on here, my biggest goal is to give you advice and be like, okay, this is something, and you have that like aha moment, like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I think one of my biggest goals for you today is going to be to not need me ever again, as far as like, not necessarily from like a strategic standpoint, but from a standpoint of that you're going to be able to listen to yourself and trust your own intuition on how to get in and out of situations. Because of all the things that's important, of all the things that I can do for somebody, for them to be able to trust themselves, I think would be the most important thing that I can do. Yeah. And so it's, I think what I would want you to do is I would want you to write down, you know, number one, I would want you to focus on, again, kind of go back to your training and think about what makes you good. We've talked about that before. There's things that make you good. You know, there's signature moves that you have that make you feel comfortable on the floor, no matter where you are, no matter how you're playing. And then the really, really minute details that you can break down in your own shot, and getting up, and the benefit of getting up an extra like 100 makes that are super focused, or that are more difficult, maybe like it's the extra pace in between the dribble, or the extra jab in between the dribble, and being able to have, because when you're feeling comfortable, the ball feel like it floats, and you feel like you can take 1, 2, 3, 4 steps and then jab and then put the ball down again. Like you really feel like you have so much control of everything that's going on. And so I would challenge you to two things. And the first thing I would challenge you to do is to once again up your level of, especially with your ball handling, when you like put the ball down and being able to manipulate the basketball. Like, so, and guess what I mean by that is I could send you some videos or whatever, but like being able to dribble and then in between that dribble, have your feet do whatever you want it to do. And then you're not carrying the basketball, but obviously like just being able to manipulate the ball, I think it's so important to make you feel comfortable. And then I would really think about just the things that make you, things that make you feel the best when you're shooting, you know, and going back to those, because going 0-for-9 is really not that big of a deal. It's more, you know, what? To me that just tells me that, you know, number one, you sped yourself up a little bit, but number two, it's just, can you speed yourself up a little bit more in practice? Like, can you speed yourself up a little bit more when it's just you in the gym, or you know, are you just kind of getting? You know, at this point, I doubt you're just getting shots up, but like, I just think it's important to make sure you're speeding yourself up to make it difficult enough that it kind of translates.
Yeah. Nah, for sure.
Yeah. So I guess what have you noticed like with your training that maybe isn't quite translating? Like, cause it should be pretty obvious. If you're 0-for-9, like what did you feel on your shots?
Now that I'm looking back at it, I was definitely speeding myself up. And I think with my training, like I was going to ask you, because I remember we talked about, you know, the very first time we talked, I think that was like the biggest breakthrough I ever had, because, you know, you told me like you, I remember you telling me, every time you step on the court, you feel armed, like so armed to the point where like, you don't even like think any, you know what I mean? And you don't have any fears like that, because, and I remember like, for me, it was like, I was doing the same ball handling drills for 3-4 years and they got super easy, but I was still doing them. And I think like with my training, I forgot exactly what your question was, but I feel like I'm going super, like, I feel like everything's translating for real. Like I really do feel armed. Like when I step on the court, it was just, I think I just, when I step into like practice or the games, and I just speed myself up at random times. And I think, like you said, it's just realizing that and figuring out ways to slow myself down.
Well, even if you feel armed, are you still using those moves that you're working on? Because, like, for instance, there's one move in particular, and what I really love about skills training, like what I've really come to love about being down here with JLA is, you know, we'll be dribbling with our inside hand, and we'll come down and we'll go through the legs to the right, jab with the off left hand, and then go, and then we'll finish. And then we'll come down. We're dribbling with our left hand. So we're on the right side of the court. We're on the inside hand. We'll dribble to the outside hand, jab to the middle, and then go, and then we'll pull up. And then we'll dribble with the inside hand. We dribble to the outside, jab on that dribble, and then cross, and then go pull up. And then we'll dribble with the inside hand, go through the legs to the outside hand, jab, this time hesitate, feet come together, then reset, drift to the side, cross back to the middle, and go finish. And so what we'll do is we'll do 3 reps of each of those where it's so focused on one minute detail that will probably be used one time in a game. And so my question when it comes to your training is, are you going to the level of detail to where you're doing the same thing over and over and over again that is incredibly difficult to where you will be cognitive to use it in a game to where you don't have to, because you might feel armed, but if you haven't done something enough times, it's just not going to come natural. And I think about this with Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is someone who's quote unquote working on his shot. And, you know, you think of Russell Westbrook, and you think about these guys that are out there trying to change their game after all of these years, and they're having such a hard time implementing their new strategies. And it's just because they have a certain way that has been successful for them forever. And so what you're seeing is you're seeing them not do it. And people are like, why can't Ben Simmons just shoot the ball? Well, because he's always been able to just go around people and go finish, or go be able to go use his offhand, his right hand in the lane. Like, he's always been able to do that, and he's always been successful. And there's a certain comfort level with success where it's not necessarily a fear thing. It's just, you know how to be successful doing what you've always done. And so you really, the amount of reps that you have to do that are so specific to be able to then use them and think of them on the court. Because what will happen is you'll notice this, and you might have noticed this already with certain moves that you've added to your bag, is, you know, the other day I was in a 2-on-2, and even 2-on-2 for me sometimes gets sped up a little bit still. And so I don't judge yourself for when things get sped up. Like, it's not a bad thing. It means you're living life constantly just on the edge of your comfort zone, which is when we grow, because you're able to think about it, but you're not able to, like, defeat yourself. Like, if you were here 2 years ago, you might not have been prepared for it, and you probably would have just defeated yourself completely mentally, and then you would have shut down. So what you're doing right now is you're on the edge, and you're like, okay, I'm really close. I know I feel pretty good about it. Everything is kind of translating, but maybe there's something quite missing now. I want to talk to somebody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a great thing. Like, you're on the edge. And this is what I mean by fear, is like, we tackle it by little increments of putting ourselves out of our comfort zone until it's just not our comfort zone anymore. Like, you would be so afraid a couple of years ago here that it just wouldn't have worked. Like, you would have been sent home. And so I think that's what, number one, that's what happens, is our old thoughts are still there. We're still the old person that we were. We still have that person inside that we're trying to defeat on a daily basis. And so we have to remember how far we've come. And what if I was going to have you write anything else down, just as I'm thinking about it right now, I would have you mentor somebody else. So if you can find, you know, a 15-year-old or a high school kid or someone that, you know, could use a little bit of help, I would really encourage you to mentor them, because what it helps you see is it helps you realize, like, how far you've actually come, and give yourself a little bit more grace and understand that, like, you've already gotten to this point. There's no way that you can't get to the next point, with whatever you're working on. So I would definitely say that, but just the minute details that it takes. And so anyways, I was in a 2-on-2 situation, and I was playing well, but I was using a lot of my old strengths. And so then I came down, and all of a sudden I remembered, I was like, oh, I want to try this, because we were doing a go off the pick and roll. And then it was like a 1-on-2 drill after that. And so I decided to get to the pick and roll, and I decided to have the ball in my inside hand. The pick and roll was coming from the inside middle part of the court. I put it to my outside hand, jabbed, and went. And I've worked on it so many times. Because what I told J-Law, I said, J-Law, I'm so appreciative of you, because when I'm here, I do, like, you know, we do like 6 to 12 reps because we're in a group of, you know, 6. And then I go to the park, and everything that I did that day and everything I learned from you, I do 50 to 100 times. And I make myself do something that I saw Casey Rivers do, who's a top level pro over in Lithuania, is I make myself go 10 of 14 before I move on. Yeah. And 10 of 14, that's efficiency. Like, he does 10 of 12.
Yeah.
And so every spot that he's in, before I move on from this drill, I have to go 10 of 14. And it's going to take me however freaking long it takes me. And it usually takes me like two times, sometimes three. And then I end up doing, like 30, 40 reps.
Yeah.
And it's just a very minute, like, ball. It's just so specific. And the first time I did it, I went right by the guy and I went and punched it. And I remember being like, damn, this move is like hitting a tree with a dull axe like a million times. And I've done it so many times that I am really sharp with it. And I've never used it before. But it was just a little quick thought where I slowed myself down. Or I don't know if I slowed myself down, but I was all of a sudden cognitive of, oh yeah, I want to see if this loop works.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't reading. The fact that I even used it was like, the reason why I used it was probably not the best reason, because I was like, oh, let's just see if it works. But like, when it worked as well as it did, I was like, oh my gosh, like, okay. And then what's next? Then it's inside hand, dribble the outside, jab, fake like you're going to go outside, and then cross back. Like, now we have counters to this stuff. And I was like, God, this game is so simple.
Yeah.
When you break it down to the minute details that you've done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, to where then now he has to respect this. And now I feel like I can never be pressured in the full court, because I have this move where I'm reading it now, where I'll start with the ball in the inside hand, I'll dribble the outside, and I'll jab. And whatever they do, I can just go to the other side, and then I can take my time and find space.
Yeah.
So does that make sense? Like,
no, that makes perfect sense. I don't do it like you know, just realizing that I know, like, I don't break it down to the detail. I think, like, I'll go in and I'll, like, choose a move that I need to work on. And I know that sounds stupid, but, like, I choose a move that I need to work on, and I just work on it. But, like, I wouldn't break it down, and I wouldn't, you know what I mean? I think, like, so many of us, like, we kind of, like, try adding so many things to the bag that we forget that we need to break certain things down. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%. It's not stupid to go in a gym and work on a move. There's certain things that I'll only do now that I've worked on them thousands of times. Like, there's an MJ, I call it a LeBron pull-up and a Kobe pull-up, where I'm facing, like, my chest is facing to the left, and I pull up and kind of kick my foot to the right. I see that's a LeBron one. And then there's the Kobe one, where he would rip through to his right side, and then he would pull up and let his body twist and turn and then kick his foot again. Mm-hmm. So there's certain things that I only work on, like, five to 10 times at the end of a workout, because I've already worked on them thousands of times to make sure that it still just feels like, okay, I still have that in the bag. I still feel armed if I need to pull this off at any time. But, like, as far as when you're first learning something, and Jordan talked about this, I literally was standing there talking to him. I said, you know, I'm so thankful for you, because your energy, and because every single day, like, I take the 6 to 12 reps that we do here, and then I do 50 to 100 by myself later, until it feels so natural that I can do it. Like, I can just do it. I can do it on a court that I remember to do it. Like I'm saying, like, Ben, when was the last time you saw Ben Simmons? Have you ever seen Ben Simmons take 5 threes in a game? No. Or 3 threes in a game?
No.
He has so conditioned himself that to succeed and to be comfortable, this is what I need to do. And it's not a knock on him. He can shoot really well. He just doesn't.
Yeah.
And so it's just having the, like, if you're going to have the cognitive ability to bring something out in a pressure pack situation, especially the higher the pressure, you have to have worked on it so many times that it's comfortable for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm really glad, number one, you were proud of yourself for going 0-9. Like, just because you're like, okay, I just kept shooting. There's always good things to find, but now it's about going back to the drawing board. And so, the other thing that we were doing the other day is I made myself do 10 of 14 from 7 different spots, like catching and shooting and having someone rebound for you. So if there's somebody that'll stay after, like an assistant coach or like an intern or someone like that, that'll stay after and it'll rebound for you for as long as you need. I think it's really important for precision that you're constantly putting a little bit of pressure on yourself, where you'll feel the pressure. If they're rebounding for you, you're like, okay, I want to get this over with, because I don't want them to have to stay here all night.
Facts, yeah. Yeah, man, that's huge for me. I just feel like I just, like, made a big breakthrough right now. It's crazy. Like you kind of just like that was kind of what I was searching for real, because I was wondering, like, because I, like you said, like, and some of the moves I feel armed with, I'm not even using. It's just
But that's really the thing. It's just because we're armed with certain things, it'll probably only happen like once a game. Like each individual move. I think about this from a golf standpoint. You know, Tiger Woods will work on a ball like when he was younger. You know, he would probably put a ball. He would stuff it in like, you know, a thick clump of mud or something like that, and then he would make himself hit 100 shots from there just in case it ever showed up. Like it, we don't know what's going to happen once we're on the court. A lot of times, it's going to be open catch and shoots. It's going to be a simple pump fake drive. A lot of the times, the game is really simple. But when we do need to use these moves, or when we do want to put on a little bit of a show because we want to be entertainers, and that's the most important part that you need to slowly get to, is, you know, and we talked about this last time, but it's just being able to be an entertainer and use these moves. Even though you don't necessarily have to, because there's people paying money to come watch you play. So it gets to a point where, yes, the game is actually pretty simple, and you've worked on the things that you need to plenty of times, but then there's the entertainment aspect of it too, where you just have that in your bag for show. And that's obviously a completely different conversation, but it's important.
You know, how much do you emphasize like yoga and meditation and all that?
What was that?
I was just curious how much, because I remember, you know, looking at your like this is a completely different topic, I guess, but looking at your stories, your Instagram stories, you know, you'd have a whiteboard and you'd write all you'd write down like, you know, what you're gonna get done today and this, that, and you'd always have like yoga and meditation and visualization. How important would you say all that stuff is to become the player you want to be?
That's a great question because I think that what I think about meditation right now and how I feel in these last 2 weeks, I've really had a lot of changes in how I feel. And I think with meditation, I think what I'm trying to find now is as I want to, like I've told you before a little bit, I want to know what I think about the situation. I want to know how I feel. I want to know how I would react. Like there's certain strategies that I feel like I can give you, obviously, like kind of what we were just talking about. But as far as who we are as individuals, like I think I'm more curious to know just to sit with myself and to feel centered. And so meditation for me is something that kind of just grounds me. But I think what is takes it to the next level is I was training a high school friend of mine. This last off season, we were training in the tennis courts every single day, and then we'd go jump in the river, and it was super awesome. And we really were getting after it, and we were both getting a lot better. And I'm very thankful for him. But something that changed is this one day he was just completely in his own head. I could tell he was, but it was. There's one thing about being in your head, and there's one thing about having that defeatist mindset where you're starting to shut down. I saw him starting to shut down. I said, "Hey, come, let's take a walk." And this is why I want you to mentor somebody else. So we took a walk and we went down by the river and we sat there and I said, "I want you to close your eyes and I want you to go on a journey with me." And I said, "You are sitting in your room and you're on your bed and you get a text and it's from Isabel, it's from your girlfriend. And it says, 'Hey, good morning, and you know, I hope you have a wonderful day. You know, good luck tonight.' And you know, you're pretty excited because today's the day, your first day, your first NBA game. And so you're making breakfast and like it's kind of something to think about. You hear ESPN and kind of going on in the background. You're in the hotel and you're just like, 'Man, like this is actually happening. Like this is my day.' It's like so you go downstairs and you know you walk past the person at the front desk, you know, they wish you good luck. You grab like a little water cup with the lemons and you take a quick sip and you get into your car, you get into your Uber and you're like on the way and you're just like your head just hits the seat behind you and you're just like, holy crap. Like I'm actually on my way to my first game. And then you get like, it's you get another notification. You look down and it's like your mom and she's texting you and she's just like, "Hey honey, like I know you're going to do good tonight." And you're just like, "Man, like maybe, I don't know." Like, and you have so many thoughts that are going through your head. And then you get to the gym and you see the person, like the security personnel checking out the Uber driver, and they see that it's you and they're like, hey, you know, good luck. And, you know, they're trying to hype you up, you know, the hype monkeys. Mm-hmm. And that's an inside joke for the people on the podcast. And so then you're like, you're walking into the tunnel down underneath, and like, it's like a parking garage, and you're passing like the people in the vests and stuff like that. And you're saying what's up to them. And you're, you know, you introduce yourself to a couple of them. You see a little kid walking around with the older janitor, like getting shown like the old trophies that are in the case. You know, you walk into the locker room, and you know, you're one of the first ones in there, cause you know, you're a rookie, and then you maybe hear the ball bouncing. So you look out on the court real quick and you see one of the vets out there, like getting shots up and shooting some free throws with his headphones on. And so I'm taking him through this whole story, and I don't know if you can feel this, mm-hmm. but like what the visualization is doing for me right now is it's the little details that make it real. Yeah. It's the text that you get. It's hitting your head against the back of the seat. It's the little details that are going to make you feel it. It's not being in the game, and you know, it is obviously, but you have to let yourself get to that point. Yeah. So I guess what I've always seen with meditation is being patient with the meditation and really going step by step and making it as realistic as possible to where I feel it.
Yeah.
I think it has been really important. I used to do it all the time, especially I used to be with my dog, and we would sit down after at the park. This is like 3 years ago now. And I'd just sit down at the park, and she'd sit down with her right on my back. She had my six or something like that, you know, because we're in the dark. And I would take myself through a normal day, a quote unquote normal day that I would have in that life,
mm-hmm.
and make it as realistic as possible. Mm-hmm. And those were the moments that made me feel centered.
Yeah.
Those were the moments that made me feel like, okay, I can do this because it's feeling normal to me. Mm-hmm. Because I think what happens is when we get into these new situations, they just don't feel normal. We're not used to it. Like, I told Jordan this the other day because he asked me if I was all right. I was kind of struggling. I had some relationship issues kind of in my life. And I said, Jordan, you know, I had a lot of the bad things happen to me as a kid. Like just a lot. Like it was just a string of bad luck. And I'm a very happy person. And I'm very good at like having a good mindset no matter what's going yeah. on. But at the same time, when things started to go really well, like when you got to this new college, like, you know, when things started to go really well, I kind of was just waiting for it to fail because I was so used to it to failing more than it going right.
100%.
Like, I'm so used to the next fucking shoe falling and me being like, oh, great. Like, here we go again. Like, I'm more used to that and I'm more comfortable with that.
I swear.
Yeah, and what's crazy is we have an addictive personality just as human beings to where we're more comfortable doing something that we've done our entire life than we are feeling something that's not normal mm-hmm. for us. And so what I mean is like if we're feeling success and we're feeling happiness and a huge sense of joy, it doesn't feel comfortable and it feels more like a nest when we're in a place of doubt. Mm-hmm. or in a place of a little bit of fear. And so sometimes I don't call it sabotage. We will set ourselves up to feel that exact same feeling mm-hmm. because it just feels right. Yeah. And so I don't really see myself as meditating as much as I used to. What I see myself doing is reminding myself like something strong, something really strong. Like, no, I am that guy. I am that guy. I am that guy. And I will repeat it to myself over and over and over again when I'm in a situation and it's just in my head, but it's like, it's that mind, that physical body shift of I refuse to be the person that I used to be. And I feel like I have to be a little more dramatic about it. But at the same time, I feel like it's just another step closer to making it normal. Mm-hmm. And so I think that kind of goes along with the meditation too, is I want you to make the meditation feel as normal as possible with the little minute details. So you get used to feeling like that in your real life.
Definitely. Man, that's huge. You know, one thing I wanted to ask you too was, I remember like you and I were at 360 and you know, this is the first day I met you and I was telling you about my high school experience and this, that, and right before I walked out, you were like, Chuka, just you can't compare yourself to anybody else. You know what I mean? Like, because you kind of were like, that's what kind of like, I forgot exactly how you worded it, but it touched me a lot because from that day on, it was like, man, it was just me versus me, you know? But I wanted to know what, you know, I look at you and I think like, for me, like you're just a big inspiration for like me and, you know, just like even my little brother, you know, I showed them your and my friend, just 'cause like, you know, just your story, like, you know, you realize that, you know, this basketball is what you wanted to do. You know, you played baseball, you came back to basketball after all these years taking it off, whatnot, and you know, you told me how you weren't that good, but I wanna know like what, you know, like for me, I guess like one thing that really like that got to me a lot was like I always wanted to just kind of like I wouldn't say, I guess like kind of impress people, you know, like I wanted to like there's a lot of people who didn't told me that I couldn't get to where I am now, and you know that was like a big thing for me, but for you, it's just like, you know, you after all these years, like, and you're just a dreamer. Like, what keeps you going? Like, you know, like a lot of people would look at you like, yo, you're crazy, like doing what you do. Like, for real, like I'm being dead ass. Like a lot of people would be like, yo, like you are nuts. Like, you're not taking the normal path that society wants you to take, and you're this happy. But like, you know, like that's why like there's been honestly some days that I've had bad days and I just think about you. I'd be like, oh yeah, this dude's still going. Like I better get, like I have there's no reason for me to ever quit because I know your crazy ass is still doing some you know what I mean? Like so it's like what drive like I wanna know like what drives you, what keeps you going? Because like obviously like, you know, we only mess with people that are on the same wavelength as us, you know? And that's why I like you a lot because I look up to you. But like, what keeps you going? Like, for real, like.
You said a couple things in there that I want to touch on, actually. The first one is there are certain days, there are certain moments where I'll be like, man, I'm 30. And of all, and like a lot of people really would say that I am crazy.
Yeah.
Like, and they'd be like, you know, you want you to have your life together and you should be having a normal job, and you're going to be so far behind when you do start something else. And even Dwayne Wade, in an interview with JJ Redick, he was talking about how he's starting over. Like, he's in the business world now, but he's starting over and he's having to learn everything from the ground up, just like he's a rookie again. And he's having to learn from his wife, and he's having to learn from other people, and like, it's a new chapter for him. But I could not imagine my life ever regretting anything.
Yeah.
I can't, I just can't, dude. I because the thought of taking myself out of the game, because actually here's something that actually goes in line with fear. Because I think when it comes to fear, what happens is we'll take ourselves out before someone else will take us out. And so we'll be on the court and we'll mess up like three times, and they'll be like, fuck, just take me out of the game. Like, 'cause you just want to break. You feel the pressure gets too much, and it's like, just take me out. And I think it happens because it happens in relationships too. I told you I was having a little bit of difficulty in relationships, and I'm very glad that I did, because it's really helped me see when I take myself out. And in all fucking transparency here, I just really liked this girl, and it had been a long time since I'd felt a connection with somebody, and I knew that, you know, their feelings were pretty reciprocal. And then I went home for a little bit, and when I was at home, I was around my mom, who's a little bit of a worrier, and I was not, but she asked me a question that kind of triggered myself to be worried. And then I responded in accordance. So it's 100% my fault. But basically what I did was that I sent her a message that was like, hey, you know, I love seeing when your name pops up. You know, I know if I'm not around my phone all day. And it was something that was just completely unnecessary. And she looked at the text. She was like, what? And she was like, are you trying to say I should text you more? And I looked at it, and I was like, God, what am I doing? I was like, I'm just causing problems right now. And so I sent her a text back. Finally, I was like, no, I was like, this is good. And then, so pretty soon, like, I started basically, like, God, dude, there's no way she's going to want to be with me. Now I'm just being, like, annoying. like, what am I doing? I'm just acting dumb. And so I would want to take myself out. So I'd be like, okay, I probably should just not talk to her for like a few days, give her some space. Like, I wanted to put myself on the bench because it's more safe there. And then when I get myself put back in, then I can come out with a fresh foot versus just keeping myself in the game. Like, dude, whatever, who cares? Like, he says I'm dumb, move on. Like, yeah. Like it never happened. Kind of like next shot. And they really correlate. My life, I realized the decisions I make in relationships and things that make me a little afraid, I realized correlated directly to basketball and how quickly I wanted to take myself out of the game when I was in the game. And so I remember just being like, oh, no, you're being silly. So anyways, I get back down here and I'm all excited to see her because I hadn't seen her in like 2 weeks. And I sent her a text and was like, hey, I'd love to see you. And she, let me know when you're free. She's like, I'm really busy on Thursday. And a bunch of things about like her friends in dinner. And I didn't really understand the text. And she's like, maybe Friday. And it was like Tuesday. And I already hadn't seen her in 2 weeks. And I got needy. And I was like, okay, well, I don't really understand what you just said, but I'll just keep my Thursday night open. And she sent a text back. She's like, okay, sounds good. So Thursday night comes around. I'm dribbling around the park. And I'm just like waiting for her to basically ghost me because I could just feel it. And so she's finally, and I'm sitting there going, if she doesn't text me, like, I'm done with this. Like, I'm going to take myself out of the game because I'm tired of feeling like this. I'm going to put myself on the bench for good. Like, I don't want to be a third priority to somebody. I mean, really, there's nothing wrong. I'm making all of this up on my own, making every part of it up.
Yeah.
And apparently, long story short, the text that she had tried to send me was like, I'm really busy Thursday, but I will see you for sure on Friday. And I just didn't read it right.
Yeah.
And she ended up texting me. She's like, hey, I'm not quite done with homework, so I'm not going to be able to hang out tonight. And I was like, okay, whatever. Like, good luck. And by the time I woke up in the morning, I was like, nope, I'm done with this. Sent her a text. Basically broke up with her. I mean, we weren't really dating, but basically broke up with her. Took myself out of the game, and I was like, ah, thank God. I can breathe now. Like, I don't have to feel this pressure. Mm-hmm. And she was probably going to do it eventually anyway. She was probably going to tell me to leave. And I see it the same as basketball. It's like, you know, when you start thinking they're probably going to tell me to leave at some point anyways, you start making those up things up a little bit quicker. And you're like, oh, just take me out. I'll just sit this scrimmage out, or I'll sit this play out. Or like, you know, you start removing yourself versus just staying in the fight and making little steps towards improvement instead of having it to be such extremes.
Yeah.
I feel like we operated extremes, or I operated extremes. And so, long story short, she came over that night and I was like, I'm being dumb. Like, never mind. Like, I want to stay with you. And I set up my own fall. But I guess what I mean by that is, like, I see the same as basketball. Like, I see myself, you know, I don't want to take myself out of the game and then be like, oh, I want to go back. Like, I don't want to take myself out. And then I can't see myself regretting anything. And so in my life now, and like in basketball and everything, like, because I see it not only as just like still doing it at 30, I see it still seeing it as doing it when I'm failing. Like, if I'm failing in the middle of the game, like, the fear and the desire to just be like, ah, whatever, and have a defeatist mentality that day is there too. It's the same one. And so it's like, I don't want to regret it. At the end of the day, you regret the shots that you don't take. You don't regret going 0 for 9. You regret going 0 for 3 and taking yourself out. Like, I regret taking myself out of that relationship and then trying to make it work, and it just failed quickly after that. I regret that so much more than I do just asking another question that I was afraid to ask and keeping myself in the game. There's a next step that we can always do that's more simple than we think.
Yeah.
And I feel like we try to make this big 4-point play, and or try to think that we have to make this. You can just go get a steal or a tip, or like a, you know, Ketino Mobley told me that. Like, I got to talk to him. Him and Kobe grew up together, and I got to talk to him. They're like, hey man, if I haven't touched the ball in 5 minutes, he goes, brother, there's always things you can do to be involved. He goes, go get a tip, go get a hockey assist, go get the ball to the rim and like have a good outlet pass. Go get a steal. Like, go, like, play great defense, go be in good space so that someone has to help, and then your guy's still going, he's cooking. Like, there's always something to do to make yourself feel involved. And so, like, I guess it's the ability to overcome fear and overcome, like, the defeatist mentality, I think, is the most important thing that you can really do, because I see it the same as my life. People might call me, I don't know if anyone tells me I'm crazy, but, like, and they might behind my back. I don't really care. But just I don't want to regret anything, bro. And like
nothing. Yeah, man. Nah, that is huge. And I think like for me, just I like I remember one time you told me like, man, like you were basically like, yo, you're tripping. Like you're so young. like I remember. Huh. Sometimes I just feel like I just like overthink things, but like I'm just young and I don't know, I should just live and I don't know. But nah, man, that definitely helps a lot. Like you keep that really is where it stems from. I feel like you just can't. I see a lot of people talk about regrets and I just can't. You can't ever.
Well, you don't regret going.
No,
over 9,
not
right?
At all.
Would you have regretted going 0 for 3 and stop shooting? Yeah, it's just, and the only thing you said is you said that you felt like you wanted to try to impress people, and I got my value in my life from having skills, and so I've always wanted to try and impress people, and especially in this last month, I had a moment where I was playing cornhole against one of my best friends, and I was killing, and I was doing LeBron, I was like, I'm built different, I was talking shit to him, and like our entire family was there, and then he hit this crazy shot. And he went nuts on me, like nuts. It was just like, Bill, different. And like, was just like all up in my face and like letting me know. And I remember my first initial thought was super cool because it was really embarrassed. It was so embarrassed. I was like, man, I'm the one who's always won. And this is, and I realized, and I told him afterwards, I was like, you know, I had a really cool moment today. Like, I realized that I put so much value in my skills because it's the only thing that gave me friends in high school. Like, I had no social skills, and so I put all my value into impressing people because it's the only thing that did.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why also working on yourself is super important because we shouldn't have to try to impress people because we're human beings, dude. And the end of the day, like, even once we get to the next levels, like, you're a Division I athlete, and if you looked at yourself in middle school right now, you'd be like, oh, my God, like, I look up to that guy. You're just a dude. You're an awesome guy, but you're still just a guy. So, like, it's really important, too, that we continue to look at, like, evaluate and, like, reflect on our life and things that we're doing outside of basketball, too, and we put ourselves a little bit out of our comfort zone there, too, because you will learn just as much about yourself and you'll see correlations, like I did in that little mini relationship that I had, that'll help you just as much as basketball will.
That's facts, man. So, yeah, two more questions for you. How much film do you watch still? I remember I used to ask you questions about this, but I never really like actually took it to heart because I was never watching film. But now I'm trying to watch film. I remember we talked that you broke down like Tyler Herro and Duncan Robinson, two dudes that I love watching. I love those dudes and.
Yep.
How do you watch film? How do you study them? How do you try to correlate? Like, you know,
I work a lot right now, and so I actually don't take as much time to watch film. I think what I feel like is just more important now is I'm constantly playing with people that have these upper level talents. And so I feel like I don't have to watch as much film because I'm seeing it daily and I know what I need to work on to where I'm watching the best people in the gym. I've never seen people be able to do the things that they can do here. And so I watch it very carefully and then I'll work on it later. And it's always like kind of what I was saying before. It's very specific. It's very detailed. And it's a lot of skills work. I'll probably watch a little bit more film when I get closer to the season.
Cool. When is your season starting?
And I don't know. I'm just going to warn you real quick. I don't know if we'll get cut off at the hour mark. We just might. So we might have to, we're about to find out right now. Nope. It's going to keep going.
Okay. And, lastly, I mean, I guess we've touched on this a lot, but I've never struggled with patience at all. But I hear a lot of people talk about it, that like, you know, wanting, you know, you want to be great and you want to be great right now. Is that something you've ever struggled with? Like, I don't know if that makes sense. Does that make sense? I hope it does.
It does. I'm trying to think about it right now because I really haven't thought about that a whole lot. The thing I would think about there is I don't deserve to be great right now if I'm not. And so I think about this too, where I thought about this with the relationship. I thought about this with basketball in this offseason. This offseason has been the longest offseason of my life. I haven't played basketball in a competitive game technically since March 11th. Now, it's been the greatest offseason of my life, and I'm around incredible people, and like I'm in a really good spot. But I've thought about this quite a few times because I already wanted to be great for sure, but I already wanted to be competing like a couple months ago. Like I already want to be overseas. Like a lot of my friends, a lot of my colleagues, you know, they're already overseas back with new teams and they're already playing, and I'm still here training. And the patience of having to do the same thing over and over and over again, and knowing that you're making incremental steps, but you're not going to have big aha moments except for, you know, maybe once a couple weeks if you're really paying attention, or a month, or like a couple months, or like whatever. But just, I have this huge desire to be playing right now in the G League, and I'm taking my next step forward. But at the same time, the more that I can be patient and sit in this moment and be okay with just training.
Yeah.
I think it's a perspective thing. It's kind of what I just asked you. If you looked at yourself in middle school and you saw yourself at the D1 level, you're like, oh my God, that's so cool. When we look at it from a farther back perspective, we think it's amazing. If I told myself 4 months ago that I'd be down here training with NBA players every single day, like in like moments that are so incredibly difficult for me, and then it would eventually become normal and I would feel like just one of the guys and I'd feel like I can hang with anybody in the world, I'd be like, oh my God, that's so cool. Don't leave. That's amazing. Why would you leave and go back home? Why would you be in a hurry to go to your next team when you're still getting better every single day, better than you're going to with a top level team? Because I'm playing against players now that are better than a top level team that I'll be practicing with in Europe, because all of these guys are the best players on those teams.
Yeah.
Or they're in the G League or they're in the NBA. And so it's like, it's a perspective thing on patience is, I would want to be here if I was asking myself this question 4 months ago. Once it's already here and it becomes normal for you, then you're okay. What's the next thing? And so I think it would be a perspective thing. If you were looking at yourself from the middle school standpoint or 15-year-old standpoint, I think it's the only thing I'll say again is I want you to find someone to mentor yourself, because it'll really help give you that perspective of, wow, I've really come a long ways. And it'll help. And I think it'll help you to be patient, because when you look at it from someone else of how many reps that you think that they need to do to get to where you are, you're like, damn, okay, I really have a lot more reps. Yes, I want to be great right now, but the amount of individual specific reps that I need to do between now and then, I'm really glad that I'm still here in college, because I have an opportunity to work on those outside of practice. So where I am ready by the time I do get that opportunity, which we're only going to get a couple big, big, big opportunities in our life. And if we're not ready for them, it's really going to hurt. Like, that's the part that's going to hurt. And so I think it's a blessing. And it's that perspective of, it's a blessing for me to be down here. It's a blessing for you to be in college right now. Even if you sure want to be getting paid or want to be great and you're ready to have your name on, you know, plaques or something like that. I don't know what you dream about when you dream, but like, I just think it's a blessing for you to be where you are right now, because you have such an opportunity to get all the reps up that you need. And the people that do, the people that can put themselves in that position and that mindset to just continue to put up reps and to be thankful, those are the ones that are going to be successful in the long run.
Man, that's huge. That's huge. And thank you, man, for everything, for real.
Hey man, you're the one that puts in the work, and you're the one that has a lot of great questions. And like I told you, mentoring someone else is one of the biggest blessings that I can ever have. Because number one, you trust me, and that's something that I will never take for granted. But number two, it helps me see a perspective on things that I've done, things that I've thought about, things that, you know, I worried about. And that's why the podcast is what it is. It's like, I was once exactly where you were, thinking the exact same thoughts. And it's the ability to continuously work on that so that we don't get comfortable being negative, or that we don't get comfortable thinking that something's got to go wrong because everything's pretty awesome right now. And so it's just a wonderful opportunity that we have to just continue to work on ourselves.
All right, man. Thank you. And man, let's definitely connect like some within a couple months or whatever, man. And when are you playing again?
I mean, I'm gonna play. If all else fails, I'll probably end up back in the TBL this next year, with just my new skills and new talents. And I think that the impact that I believe that I'm going to have on the court will put me in a top level overseas quite quickly after that. And that is really what I believe. I finally feel like I'm so prepared mentally, and I've been so open to change I'm pretty excited to get out there and have some fun. Man. But it won't be training camp won't be till like middle part of January or something like that. So I still got a lot of time to be patient. And it's not always my favorite thing. But then when I, there's still just things that I've got to keep working on, man. Yeah, I'm going to make this happen.
For sure.
Yeah. Anyways, thank you for trusting me, man.
All right, man.
Yeah. We'll catch up soon. And is there any way that I can, like watch your guys' games or like stream or anything like that?
Yeah, definitely. Right now, like I don't know when games are gonna start, but I'm not sure, but I'm sure there's something. Yeah.
Fair enough. Well.
Yes, sir.
Just go do your thing, bro.
All right. I'll talk to you soon. All right,
later, man.